It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Welcome back to the Great Connect podcast. I'm Carrie Allen, your host and founder of the Human Array. Today, I bring you right into a beautiful conversation appropriately named Millennials Unfiltered. I'm joined by Amanda Johnson of HeartSpark, and this episode is just as its name suggests, unfiltered. Our conversation explores what makes our generation unique. We are the only generation to remember a life before smartphones, and yet the first to fully harness this digital connectivity. We'll explore the unique tension we all feel as we reclaim lost traditions, like making bread, while creating new systems that actually work for our modern lives, actually work. From questioning outdated structures to finding genuine connection in an increasingly virtual world, we're having the raw, unfiltered conversations we all need right now. So whether you're feeling caught between digital overwhelm and craving authentic experiences, or just trying to figure it all out, balance it all, while staying true to yourself, you are not alone. We're figuring it out together, one conversation at a time. So grab a cup of something warm, get comfortable, and join Amanda and I as we unpack what it means to be a millennial in today's world.
Just grab it all. Yeah. I feel like we're so used to at this moment in time, like little snippets of content, right? That's just the way that social media has been for us for a while. And we're so comfortable with that. And the downside to that, well, there's maybe multiple downsides, but the one that's coming up for me is that a lot of that stuff is really overproduced. And then you're not actually feeling the true feeling of if we were just to be recording our circle.
Yes.
How like raw that is.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Oh, I'm getting chills even talking about it. Like, that's the thing that's real. And that's the thing that people, I think, want to experience, because we want to experience it. Like, when we're sitting there, we don't want it to be perfect, because none of us are showing up perfectly.
Yes.
And it would, you know, I think there's like a, there can be like a disconnect sometimes between the content that we consume and how we actually want to show up or feel, because it can bring up, and maybe it's good, maybe it's stuff we need to work through, but like it can bring up, I'll never be able to do that. Like, you know, there's just like a blockage there. So I love that.
I totally agree, right? And there's something in that like live experience that is so authentic and genuine that I love how you said that about like the energy, like connecting to the energy of the moment. And I think that that, candidly, as like a person who is supposed to be creating this content and then delivering it into the world, let's say as a marketer, I often feel I get lost in the in-between of creating and delivering because of that perfection or that I want it to feel like it felt in the moment. And whether that's, you know, over perfectionist or under, I don't know which one it is, right? But like, I just feel like let's cut out the middle and just go and do and be.
I love it. I love it because I hear that over and over. I feel that way too. There's so much stuff that I have so many notebooks full of thoughts and ideas that could become content that will never see the light of day because of this in-between like liminal space that you're talking about. And I feel like I hear people say that a lot. And, you know, that makes sense to me because we're pulling these ideas out of like the quantum field or whatever, however you want to describe it, and then trying to make them real. And that's the part that's hard.
Yes.
It's really hard to make that transition from energy to material.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I find it in my words, right? Like, well, that word isn't quite right, but yeah. I love that. And to your point about like the big magic concept. And I think we've experienced it too, listening to other podcasts or other books or whatever it is. There are so many times where my brain is like working over here and I'm listening over here, and they say something and it clicks something in over here. Or, yeah, that clicks this to that to this to that, or this thing that's been coming up for me, right? And so we don't have to do it if we just say the thing and the person that's supposed to do it is supposed to listen and hears and then takes that and does the next step with whatever that is, right? Like it's really about that transmission of the ideas and it connecting the dots for other people, like a great connection.
I love that. Yes, look, it's all connecting together. It truly is. I have so many thoughts right now in this moment already about like how this applies to our generation, because just of like we've worked so hard to make it work in the way that we were told to do it. And I think this iteration of how we're now like, well, that didn't work for us. And maybe we were able to fake it. Maybe but we didn't feel good. And so this idea, I mean, obviously it just is like channeling, right? Like you're just channeling these ideas, and it feels so much more free to do it that way. And it is can be scary because you have to really trust that you're going to say and do the right thing, but there is no right thing. So that's the work, right? It's like believing that you will just say what needs to be said in that moment, and then the people who are ready to or desire to receive that message will hear it. And that's it. And then you just let it go.
Absolutely, right? And just like we know that the beauty of so many conversations that we've had are the like stepping stones almost, right? That like, oh, you say this and then I layer onto that and you layer onto this and then we get to this really beautiful place and have this dynamic conversation and discourse based on just sharing what's coming up for us and allowing it to flow in that way. And to your point, I think there's so much of this content, even from a podcast perspective. I love that people ask questions and it's like, I like to just flow in the conversation and see where it leads us. I don't know what that's going to mean, whatever
I
that
know.
is.
I
It's,
know. We're just trusting that. And that's how, but that's how it always works when we're with like our, like people that we feel safe with, or like our soul family, or whatever you want to call it, right? Like we don't need to have it be so structured, although it can be nice to put a little container around things, but also inside that container, we can be more free. And again, that feels like what it feels like to be a millennial. It's like, okay, I'm okay having some structure. And maybe that's nice, but inside I need to find my own way because I was shown a way that didn't work for me.
I think when you say that, the biggest thing that comes up for me about being a millennial in the structure is why? And as soon as I understand the why, for good or for bad, whatever that why is, it allows me to anchor into, okay, and I agree with that why, I don't agree with that why. So here's my why and how I would change the structure to be able to do that. And we're just a generation of questioners, right? Like, well, why? Why do I have to go to work from 9 to 5 if I'm done by 3? Why?
Seriously,
And why do I need to be in that seat, in that space, when all the work I'm doing can be done from home in the same way, right? Like, just why? And there are good whys. There are lots of good whys of, the conversation as you pass or going to lunch with your coworkers or that connection. And I'm a huge proponent of all of that. And our generation just feels like, yeah, but I need to understand the layer below the structure. There's been all this facade and surface level, I guess, structure, framework, how, and not the why.
I love that so much because I feel like I ask that question all the time for sure. But I will say, and I'm curious to know what you think about this. Earlier on, those whys were more quieted. So, and I think for me and maybe others who tried really hard to follow especially if we're talking about career or whatever, like follow a pathway that made kind of sense in quotes. Those thoughts were coming up, but it's not, they weren't as openly shared. And I feel like we're in a moment now where collectively we've, that why has gotten a lot louder. And then it's activating other people to be like, yeah, that is true. Why?
Wait a
And
minute,
I
why?
want to, I know, I want to throw on top of this, which I know won't apply to every single person, but I think also, and both of us are parents, and children always ask that question. And I think we're also parenting differently. So when those whys come up, we're not answering the same way that maybe our parents would have answered for us. And so that's conflicting too, because it's like, wait, I am asking that same question. And now I need to sit here and think about that
And I
before I
don't mean
answer
like I
you.
can say because I told you so. I
No, we can't say that.
can't. That every once in a while it comes up is like my last resort because I don't know what the actual answer is. And I'm like, no, I
I
can't do
know. I know. Because that's that energy that doesn't work for us. The
Yeah.
energy of, it's like that authoritative energy of
Fall in
I,
line.
yeah. And I'll just, I know I've said this several times, but it just feels so strong for me that like we tried that and it didn't work for us. And so I
Absolutely.
think we're just coming into, it can be like a really overwhelming place, truly, of like, well, what do we do now? Because it didn't work for us.
It's interesting you say that because the exact thing that was coming up for me as you were pausing was, wow, how amazing is it that we have a whole generation of people that feel similar. And it is scary, right? We don't have a blueprint. We're asking questions. We don't necessarily have the answers. And that's flow, right? Which is just going with what's happening. That's scary. And at the same time, we're not alone. We've got a whole generation of people that feel the same way. And how can we bring them together so that we can navigate it together, right? That's the first thing that comes up for me when you say that, because it's like, it's okay. I'm not alone in this, and we should feel connected to each other in that way.
I feel like that's the thing that matters so much because when we have these types of conversations, we realize that. And any time you don't feel alone is such an important moment. And I'm just thinking of, I was having a conversation this week with one of our catalysts, and we were just talking about business ideas and stuff. And I was reflecting back how amazing I thought this idea was and why I really was following like her line of thinking, which was very much along the lines of what we're talking about. Like, okay, the way that it has been talked about isn't really working for me, so I'm creating something new. And she said something back to me like, wow, thank you so much for like understanding that, because a lot of times I feel like people don't understand that, and you just need that validation, even of just one person, that no, that thing makes sense. That thing makes sense. And that's, I think, why when we get these groups together of certainly of a generation, of a mindset, of an energy, it's an energy that is
Energy.
permeating through a group of people. And I think that we've talked about this, Carrie, just like on our solo chats and stuff. And I'm so glad we're talking about it in like a more open way, because if you can think about it that way, then you can think about groups of people as having this like pulsing energy running through them that is similar. And of course, they are unique and different, but in a group, it like moves through time with something happening there. And I think that's why it's so nice to like magnify that energy and bring it together, because then, yeah, we do feel less alone. We can have moments like the moment I had earlier this week where it's like, no, that thing makes sense. Do that. There are people who desire that, even if they're not, if even if they're not talking about it openly, and that's why we need to have these conversations.
Oh my God, my whole body is just lighting up because yes. Oh my gosh, all I can say is yes, right? Which is what you're saying is evoking something really strong in me of, yeah, can we connect people because we're creating new systems and we're changing things and we're questioning things and we want to do it a new way. And all those people that are trying to do it in their version, their piece of the pie, like if we can get them all together and see each other in a way that's like, yes, you said no, yes, and you're going with the yes, like you don't know what's happening, but I applaud you because I totally resonate with that, right? Because there are so many of us that resonate with that at this moment in time. I see the memes or the different things on social media, like, you know, 20 years ago, you were in the club in your tight leather jeans, and now where's your sourdough starter, right? Like,
Yeah,
yep.
love those. It's true though, but those make us feel seen too. And we're like, no, that is like how I'm experiencing life.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm not the weird one that's baking bread by myself. Like, no. We're all learning to bake bread because I mean, this will go back to like why we're here to talk about millennials in particular. In our why, I think generationally we have this is I'm going to make some bold statements. That feels
I
scary to
love
me.
it. I can't
And
wait. Let's go.
I'm so ready to make some bold statements, which is like, I feel like wisdom was withheld from our generation. And I say that with all the love for the generations above, because I fully believe in everybody playing a very particular role, like you said, of the energy coming through in different things. And when I think about energy and when I think about how we learn and grow and evolve, there is friction and sometimes constriction and all these different pieces that cause us to feel how we don't want it to, so that we can then push into what we do want, right? And that to me is like a pendulum that you got to swing both directions all the way to the edge. And that's sucks, quite
Yeah,
frankly.
it's tough.
Sucks. And so when I say the wisdom was withheld from us, I even see it in how my husband and I are talking to our kids of, I'm not going to let you leave this house without knowing how to cook meals for yourself. And he said that one day, and I was like, huh, what a novel thought. I didn't learn to cook for myself until I was actually there. And then I had all this ease and convenience of craft out of a box.
Yes.
And it was like, that's what it was. And so now here I am, 40 plus, and learning how to do all these things for myself to start. And I'm grateful for being here and being in this way and all these things that have allowed me to step into this moment. Because I think when I start to like think about that, it's like I'm not alone. That's collectively, there's a lot of us. And there's exceptions to the rules always, but we didn't get the wisdom of how do you tend a garden? How do you take care of things? How do you cook for your family? How do you eat seasonally? Like, Lord, I had no idea there were seasons. Like, oh, I should eat different fruits at different times of the year. I thank God for my husband and his ability to translate all of that for me, right?
It's really good at that.
Yes.
We love that Taurus energy,
I
cooking
know.
us meals.
Thank God he's connected to the earth. I am not.
We're just burning things down, you know, and lighting, igniting fires in people.
Yes, and he's like slowly patting it down as he comes behind, right? Yeah, I can't get over this sensation that we as a generation just like it's like there was a generation where all this wisdom was held, passed, we had elders, etc. And then, you know, I think we can point to a variety of things in history, but it was like, no, stop. That's not okay. We don't want to pass things. That knowledge is not good enough, or whatever that is. And then it was like, here, bake cookies out of a box. We made it easier for you, faster for you, whatever that is. You don't like, so I personally feel like I saw my grandmother or my aunt cook, but my mom was like, yeah, I never did that stuff. That wasn't for me. I'm like, what? What? Why? Why didn't we learn how to be humans? I don't
Oh my
understand.
gosh. Yeah. Why? There we go again. It's another good question. I mean, I'm sure we could like actually answer that question, but thanks for sharing all that. It was making me think of so many moments in my life that feel similar to that, where I wish, I don't know if this will feel like the same thing, but I have my part of my family came over from Hungary, and I grew up in a house where there was a lot of traditional things happening because my great grandmother and my grandmother were born there and then they came here, but they didn't pass that on to me. Like I watched that stuff happening, right? We could talk about cooking. We could also talk about the language. It makes sense to me because I understand they were trying to like become a part of this culture. But there's something that got lost in that. And that certainly that's my very personal journey, but that extends to so many pieces of wisdom, to use that word. It's just making me think, Carrie, of we do circles with our friends, right? And we come together and we do different activities together and we just share our feelings. And in those moments, it always feels like we're reclaiming some of that wisdom that didn't get passed on to us. And I mean, that's really ancient stuff. That's not even like our parents. And I do feel like our generation is very interested in that. And maybe it's because we swung so far on the pendulum of everything is pre-made for us, like everything is packaged for us. And I mean, life, not just food, like th this. We are, you are being presented this way that you will move through the world and this is right for you. And then what if it's not? And what if I want to know how to make sourdough bread? What if I want to know how to, hold a ritual space because my ancient ancestors did that, but no one taught me that.
Just rituals and traditions. I love that you brought that up because it is so true that so much of that we like had to, I'm generalizing, right? But like as people came over into this great melting pot, they discarded it. They had to like shed the old to fit in with the new. Oh, and now we're at a place where, wait a minute, I want to know where I came from. And funny enough, my mother is a genealogist.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's so cool.
It is really cool. And I've always really enjoyed, she is a really deep genealogist, and so she loves to go to cemeteries and like I did lots of weird things as a child to scratch headstones so that we could have
That does not sound weird to me at all. I'm like, can I go do that today? That sounds really interesting.
it's really cool, right? And she's mapped so much of our family back over the years, and she's done all this research and all this knowledge to understand their stories, which I've always loved. And she loves the stories and the history and the movement patterns and those patterns. And for me, I think she shared, and maybe I didn't absorb it, who knows, those rituals. And like those were not baked into our actual lives though, right? So it was very hard to connect with those stories because we didn't necessarily do. And I'm just an active learner, right? Like when we do this every single year, that becomes part of me and how I understand it and learn it. And we don't have those anymore. And I think that there's so many beautiful traditions out there in general. And so now we're all kind of like grasping in the dark for like, oh, this one sounds interesting. Like I can connect to that one. And what about this one? And how do I just bring those things back into my life? Because they disappeared and it got commercialized.
Yes. Oh, I feel a lot of things hearing you say all of that. What's mostly coming up for me is this idea of I often think there are all these different, cultures and rituals. And then when you get to the root of it's like, oh my gosh, we're saying the same thing. And I love that. And so it is really, okay, what do you connect with? That's always what it is I really have this belief, which not everybody has to believe, but like we're headed the same way, but which way is right for you? And there's so many options, and that is so cool. And maybe it is connected to your family lineage, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's something completely different. And that's, I think that is something also that I really like about our generation as we come into our own, because that feels, again, there's that theme of like we were a certain way because that's how we were expected to be, and we are like coming into our own knowing of who we are as a group. And I think we do have a lot of curiosity. I mean, that's probably why we're asking why all the time. And that curiosity is so important because it's the thing that lets us figure out how we authentically want to show up. We have to question things and we have to try things. I think we're really good at that. I think we're a pretty brave group of people.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think you're right. I was having this thought yesterday around, I was writing something and, you know, we just had Lunar New Year and it struck me that Lunar New Year and Embark, I don't know if I'm saying that right, are roughly the same time this year. That doesn't necessarily always coincide the same way, but that mark of halfway between winter solstice and the spring and the return of the sun, at least from a lunar, it's actually lunisolar, which is actually, I did a little research and was interesting. Anyways, as I went down my rabbit hole of, we're just, can we all, to your point, it doesn't actually matter which way somebody talks about it that resonates with you, because it kind of all comes back to nature and natural and cycles and rhythms of the planet, of humans, of the solar system, what, however far out you want to go. And I think I like to go really, really far out, but so we don't need to be territorial around these things, because I think I feel a lot of energy of like, is it okay that I resonate with that? Like, yeah. I do. I don't know why. And is it okay? It means I honor and love that tradition. And there's something really powerful to me in that. And can't that just be okay, rather than I can't trace myself back to that lineage or whatever that is. And it's like, but we can all trace ourselves back to the earth and the cycles and the rhythms and the energy that we feel and how it all happens. And so the sun getting a little bit brighter every day, we all feel that. No matter, and every culture just chose how they celebrated it in their own unique way. And so we can, to your point about getting back to the root, that's the root.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think as long as we honor the tradition, then of course, anything that calls to us, we should explore, you know, we, and there's this really cool thing that I think we can do, which is, and I know, Carrie, you've said things like this before, and it's been really inspiring to me. Okay, once we discover that stuff and we connect with it, how do we bring it into this moment? Because sometimes things need to adjust a little, because the truth is, and I say this a lot because I'm obsessed with so many ancient cultures. And even not that far in the past, I'm a really big, you know this, Carrie, about me, like I'm obsessed with colonial times and like the 1700s. And I think a lot, I don't really want to live then though, because I'm glad we have access to the things we have access to, but there are missing parts from the past. And how can we integrate that and experience that now, but in a more modernized way that actually works for who we are as humans today? And I think that that's a lot of the work that we, whether or not people are talking about it that way, that we are doing that. Like whether it's looking at all the systems and saying, like, I have my kid in this school and what, this isn't working for them. And now I'm having a bigger realization about like this, the system of how that works. Or the system I'm obsessed with, as you know, Carrie, is relationships. Like, okay, they've been a certain way for a long time. Do they have to be that way? Like, can we talk about it? And I think, again, like, not that we have to completely destroy things. Like there's good things in every system that we've created. And how do we update the traditions? How do we update the systems to meet this modern moment in which we are completely different than when a lot of that stuff got created? Even the really beautiful rituals from like thousands of years ago, right? We're not going to probably be sacrificing like a lamb or something. But maybe we want to wear like long flowy dresses and dance around in the moon.
Yes. So
let's figure out, I think I'm making my point, but like, how can we be in this moment with all of that knowledge?
Yes. You were saying all the things that I think about. And I, as I was sitting thinking about this conversation, of the millennial generation in particular, it dropped it for me. Like this is one of those like full circle, like, wow, I've been living this and how did I not see it up until now? I personally think that the millennial generation, having been the last generation to experience life before technology, let's say that's a broad
Oh, I got
statement.
the chills.
Yeah.
Got the chills. That's so crazy to think about.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah. Like our
And
world is completely different from when we were born.
yes. And it's why I think there's so much of, there's younger Gen Xers that kind of are closer to the millennial experience than obviously the older Gen Xers. But I actually, when I started to connect to like the millennial generation and what it's here to do and its purpose in, we can talk about the archetypes and the astrology and all those things, and we are definitely going to do all of those things at some point. It just clicked for me that the millennial generation is here to weave the ancient future because we're the only ones that have the bridge between the two. Right? Like, and we don't know, but we know enough to ask questions about the past in a way that's like, and this came up in like, here's a real tactical example of this. There's been a lot of talk about cell phone usage, kids, schools, all the anxious generation stuff that has happened. And I am really glad that we're asking a lot of these questions. And what it evoked for me was a lot more questions, as always, of
A
like,
true love.
why can't my kids just ride around the neighborhood by themselves? What is preventing that, right? Which I think is really great for us to ask ourselves to really uncover what it is that's holding us back from something. And I had been contemplating maybe we'll just get a house phone because I'm tired of being the middleman. I want them to be able to connect to each other. Like, just ride over to your friend's house and like see if they're there. Like, because we have experienced that. So we know that is possible and it is safe, despite maybe what was shared at the time. And,
I have some issues with that, with some of those messages that we got as kids.
yes, 100%. There's a
Yeah.
lot of messages that I'm like, damn,
I
that was
know.
definitely damaging.
Yeah. I feel like we had like a whole kidnapping phase of life when we were children.
Yes,
Whether or
absolutely.
not that was actually as intense as it was made out to be, that was. Yeah,
It
but
was
to your point,
scary.
sorry to interrupt you. To your point, like
No.
it's true. We do know it's possible because we did it. We
Because we
definitely
did
did
it. We lived it. We lived in neighborhoods. We were out all the time. And we experienced at a certain, at probably a very formative time in our lives, the ability to connect online to create those in-person connections, right? Which to me is like, yeah, that's the power of technology to allow for the human connection. And then we've gone really far in the technology way of it being only that, because now the generations that are coming up only understand that world. And we're kind of the connection to be able to say, no, you can have both. Both can be true at the same time, which God love Dr. Becky for those two things can be true, right? And so how can we hold both of those at the same time? And I think our generation has all the power to be able to create that ancient future of digging deep, understanding that we can be humans. How do we do that? I didn't get a lot of that information. And I know that I was okay, or I could happen in a different way than it happens for our kids now. And there's really powerful stuff in the technology that we have and the capabilities that we have to talk across the planet to each other. And I don't want to lose that. And I want to bring back that human connection through that technology. And that to me, like, oh my God, my whole body lights on fire in that way of thinking about, wow, we have a whole generation of people that get that. Why are we not connecting each other and talking about that? Because I had two moms say, oh yeah, I was thinking about getting a house phone too. And I was like, oh, it's happening. It's happening.
My gosh, now I want one.
And my, right? Like, wait, let's empower our kids. We had power to be able to like go over to the neighbors three houses away and not be terrified. And I live in a place where that is very possible. Like, what is that fear that's baked into us and why? Well, maybe the kidnapping rampage that happened, or the say no to drugs and people. My husband
There's
says,
a lot of there's a lot of things we could point to.
my husband says all the time, you know, one of the big thing realizations I had as an adult is that not that many people are going to try and sell me drugs. I thought a lot of people were going to try and sell me drugs.
And it's like not happening.
And it has not happened.
Yeah. Well, okay. I love, there's so many tangents my brain wants to go on right now, because I love this idea that technology, like everything you said is so true. We are this really unique generation of, because even when it was making the change, when we had like AOL and we were like in chat rooms, right?
Yes.
We were still spending a lot of in-person time with our friends, even though that was happening as well. And so I think what you're talking about with the two things being true at once feels like a big theme for us across the board, because I feel, and I want to know what you think, do you feel this way too? I think that our generation is much more multifaceted than previous generations. And that doesn't mean that they weren't that way, because all humans are, but they weren't necessarily showing all those different parts. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because we've done a lot of therapy or whatever, and we have that language, but we're so multifaceted. And so many things have to be true at once for us,
yes.
because we do not fit in a singular box.
Yes.
We don't like keep a job for 45 years. Like, you know what I mean? We're too dynamic.
Yes.
And I think that also applies to what we can bring forward with technology too. Especially as we've seen, I mean, we have younger kids, but I think that was a pendulum swing too, for a lot of people, where more loneliness happened, the more connected we were through technology, the more lonely we were. So now we're trying to find that balance again. And I love the idea of using our very unique knowledge as a group of people to say, okay, we've experienced both ways. So we can actually figure out how to do this in a way that feels more like truly balanced for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love
in
that.
A totally
And honestly,
new way, right? Like then
in a
it
new
doesn't
way.
Have to be this way or that way, that there's no or, it's an and how do we bring that together? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I'm sorry. I just have to say this because it's bringing up my like relationship obsession again, like being a relationship coach and stuff. I think that's another area where I see this playing out, this multifaceted way of life, where it's like, no, you can like have a committed partnership and have close friendships. Like you can have both. You don't have to pick and choose. Like you can spread your time around, right? Obviously we can go even more like extreme than extreme, doesn't feel extreme to me, but like more extreme than that, right? But like, I'm just, the thought is that because we have many parts to ourselves, that we can, so many things can be true at once. Like I can so love my partner and be like, I don't want to spend all my time with you. I want to have these really close female, male, whatever it happens to be, friendships too, that light up a different part of me. And how can we bring that forward, right? Like, and we could go on and on, Carrie, because this is like every facet of life that this mentality applies to.
Yes. I was just going to say, when you say that, I then immediately click into the business side of things and what we've been talking about and what we're doing in real life, which is like, okay, I am me, I have my hole, and here's what I want to bring into the world. And ooh, this other person has this hole. And then we find an overlap. I see them as like bubbles, right? Like, and then you like, there's a piece that overlaps. Great. Let's overlap for a little while. And then, oh, there's another person that overlaps, right? And it's the dynamic, but we have to be whole within ourselves first to be able
and
to.
That,
then, yeah.
That is the
challenge. Well, we don't have to be whole. We have to be working on finding our wholeness on a regular basis, I guess I would say.
Yes.
Because I don't want to set an expectation that we're ever going to get to that space.
I don't think we're ever going to get there. Yeah.
Not our generation. That's not what we're here to do.
No, but I really agree with that. What that brings up for me, that wholeness, like we could use that word and maybe some people will be like, oh no, I can't do that. And that, I love that you said that, that we'll probably never maybe reach that. And that's not necessarily the point, but the point is to, I think about it in the way of like having a stability like deep within yourself that you can keep coming back to, because life will be very destabilizing. And honestly, we could talk about this too when it comes to millennials, because we are desensitized in some ways to we've been lived through a lot of things that have been overwhelming, scary. And I think at this point, most of us are like, fine, like send the aliens down. Like, we don't even care. We'll just keep doing our day-to-day life. Also, we'll be like, please help us. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that that can be really traumatizing because we've moved through a lot of really hard stuff and we're really resilient. And that resiliency is that like stability deep inside that we're like, we're just gonna keep going because we've lived through all these things and like we're still here. And I agree. I think like coming back to yourself always, I of course like nervous system regulation, just being able to have like a steadiness that a unique, okay, what I want to say is like a uniqueness that you are able to express, but also it's like that idea of being sovereign. It's that idea of being like, it's okay for you to be your own unique individual. And that's actually how all these bubbles work best, is if we come together. And this is what I think you were trying to get at by saying like wholeness or completeness, right? Like we are our own thing.
Yes.
And
Yes.
then we come together.
Yes. 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 And as you were saying with like the relationship side of things, like that part can light me up, that connection or that collaboration or however you want to say it, coming together can light up different pieces of me, right? Maybe if you may turn the bubble into like a multifaceted gem or whatever you want it to be, right? Where it's got all these sides and it's like, well, the click that you and I have is going to be different than the click that I have with Jeanette and the click that you have with Jeanette, right? And that's okay. And how can we start to see it that way rather than, you know, I think there's so much conditioning that we as a generation are trying to release with our why of that competition that, you know, oh, and I feel it come up in me. It's like, oh, well, they're good friends. Are they better friends? And it's like, where does that come from? Why? I have a good friend. Why can't I just be okay with the why, the good friendship, right? And I think that that's so important to keep shedding that, like, and then the connections that, yay, this is good. And maybe it doesn't have to be good forever. It can be right now, and this feels good until it shifts, and then we move into the next thing.
It's so important. I think when I hear you talk about that, what comes up for me is just, yes, it's like the conditioning because we have received a lot of messages about competition, about lack mentality, right? Like there's not enough. And also, I think on a deep body level, we just have baked into us as human beings the desire to survive. And so things can be threatening that don't have to be threatening. And I think that's part of our work is to continue to say, oh, this thing is making me feel scared. And is it really scary? Like, is it really scary if my two friends have a moment together and I'm not there? Can I trust that our connection is important too, and that it's okay? And actually, Carrie, if it's okay to share, this actually happened when my friend Chelsea, who's now our friend, and our like one of our favorite astrologers and stuff was visiting, and she messaged me and said, "Hey, I'm going to meet up with Carrie. Like, I just want to check and make sure." And I thought that was so, excuse me, so kind of her that she talked with me, and I was thrilled. I was like, "I love that two of my friends are getting to spend time together, and I don't need to be there to feel the joy that is possible to know that two people that I love are getting to be together and share time." And I'm not saying that's easy. Like I've had to move through jealousy, lots of jealousy in the past with friendships and relationships and all sorts of stuff. And I'm sure it'll come up again. But I guess I'm sharing that to be like, it is possible for us
It is.
all to be having amazing, expressive, opening experiences together, separate with this person, with that person. And that's the web. Like that's the, it's like this thing that's alive, when we do it that way.
Yeah, I love that. And you're so right. And I love the image of the web and the, you know, I think of it as the mycelium network too, of like
Of course.
the transference, right, of the knowledge and the connection and all of that wisdom between two people. And there's still a lot of work for us to do to really feel confident, you know, that self-confidence of like, I'm okay, even if all these things are happening with or without me in presence, right? And I just feel like that's such, for me personally, that's really deep, deep, deep inner work for whatever reason. And it sparks every once in a while. And I have a lot of tools now to, like, to your point, ask the question, like, what is that pulling up for me? How do I really feel about this? Like, let's take that, like, devil off of my shoulder for a hot second and say, like, how do I really feel about this? Oh my gosh, two people that I love. I had somebody else say, oh, I talked to so-and-so the other day and we're going to do this thing together. And I had that moment, like, it pinged me, not super deep or super hard, but I noticed it. And I was like, oh, interesting. And great. I'm so, like, yes, yes. I'm so happy that those two people have connected and are creating something new. Isn't that what I actually want in this world? Yes, it is. And I can acknowledge and recognize that it did poke something in me that I needed to bring awareness to and say, okay, I see you. And no, thank you.
I know. And that's so good. And that you did that work. And it's so normal, because I'm not even sure if the goal is to completely eradicate the feeling, right? Like, no, it's very normal to have a feeling come up. And then we get to pause and decide, like, okay, like, to your point, how do I really feel about that? Because sometimes it will be, and I think this is really important for every generation, but our generation has been deep in this work of looking at our societal conditioning and wondering if we really feel the way that we've been taught to feel. And since I'm using the word feel so much, what's also coming up for me is, as a generation, we're really doing the work of understanding how to process and feel our feelings. And that feels really unique to us. And it feels so interconnected with everything else, because how could we even build the new way to do technology until we, like, allow ourselves to feel all the feelings and process all the feelings that come up when we think about, you know, what that feels like to have maybe lost life as it was, or maybe for some people it's not that at all. Maybe it's a fear of technology. And, like, how do we process all of that? And I think our generation has been really tasked with learning emotions.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
And as you say that, the thing that comes up for me is thinking about the collective of the millennial generation. Yes, all the feelings and the emotions. And maybe that means that collectively, we also need to grieve. Right? Because as you said that, the only thing that kept coming up for me was we're excited about the new and we've been pushing that. And now we're kind of in this moment of feeling like, wait, 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 wait. And I don't actually know how to do that. And collectively, we need to learn how to grieve what no longer is, because once we grieve that it's not that way anymore, then we can build the new, right? Learning those emotions individually for us to how to process those. I don't know if that's making any sense in how
it's making perfect sense to me. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, of course we have to learn how to process our emotions and dig deep into all these things, because collectively we need to grieve the past so that we can build the future. And until we grieve, we can't build, because we're holding on.
Yeah. Yes. That brings a lot up in me, honestly, Carrie. Because I think that grieving process is even in this moment. It's not just the past. It's like every moment, because it's everything is both, right? There is so much expansion, joy, happiness simultaneously with grief, because we're always letting go of something as we come into something new. But I think you're really right. Like, we're probably, if we could go back in time and talk to our younger selves, we probably would have some expectations for the future that didn't quite play out. And some of that is just our own beautiful, like, delusion, which I love, because we have to be a bit delusional in this reality to create things. And I think a lot of things that were told to us about the way that life would be didn't really necessarily come to pass. And we lost, to our earlier conversation, a lot of, even if we didn't know in the moment that it was lost, that beautiful, like, history, and knowing and knowledge. And I I feel like maybe we've talked about this before. Maybe not. I'm not sure, but it's coming up for me again. I think I'll never really want to say that one group or one person is doing the work of the entire planet, but I do think that our group is transmitting a lot of that denser energy through the emotional work that we're doing, because we have some older generations that it's not all of them. I've seen some amazing stuff with boomers, and like I'm flabbergasted sometimes how open they are to all of this, and I've seen some people that are very resistant to it. And so because we're so interconnected, when we do the work, it's helping them too. And
Absolutely.
that can be like heavy. That can be really hard to be like, oh my gosh, I'm like moving all this emotional energy and it's not all mine.
I think when you say that, the thing that comes up for me is remembering that we are children of boomers, but a lot of us, not all of us, but some Gen Xers too. But and so if we're being evoked by our children, it feels natural that the older generations would be evoked by us. And that doesn't mean we should do it for them. I go into that mentality. And can we call them up as we're calling ourselves up, right? And one of the big things that came through for me as I was like really leaning into this millennial energy is like, I want to call up the elders. We don't have any. We have some, yes. And can we in doing our own work, evoke them and their wisdom so that we have elders again, because they are so, I mean, I'm talking about my mom in the genealogy. She has so much wisdom, so much knowledge in this history and the rituals and traditions, et cetera. And it's like, I want to evoke that desire in her, and I don't have to. And I hope that my work does evoke the desire in her to be an elder, not an older, an elder, right? And there's been a lot of talk around losing elders and that wisdom and how important, and especially grandmothers in that transition, and why grandmothers are around. I think you're right. I don't want to put all the weight on the millennials. And at the same time, when I look at, and we'll have to go into this on another day, but the Strauss Howe book on generational theory and the archetypes. And I read this many years ago. It's almost 10 years ago now. And it clicked so many things together for me that the millennials are the heroes, and that we, and if, and I'll, the one thing I'll say about that is you hear a lot of things about the hero's journey, right? And the hero's journey is not sunshine and
It's not
rainbows.
easy.
It's turbulent and it's hard and it's the hero's journey. And so when I look at the generation, I'm like, well, yeah, that makes absolute sense that 2008 would have happened, that 2001 with the Twin Towers, right? All these big, huge events creating this great awakening for this generation, which we are in right now, which is all the millennials hitting this midlife moment. I'm going to call it an awakening rather than a crisis. And sometimes it feels like a crisis. And can it be an awakening for a generation? And that just like makes me, I want to like go run a
Love.
race. I get so
Me
excited
too. I'm
about
like, ah. I love that so much. And I do love that language shift too, because we've called these things for so long, like a midlife crisis, and it's a breakdown, and it's like, and no, what if it is just the second phase of, actually coming into that authentic way of being? And I think, honestly, I think that we have been in that for a while, and our awakening has been like stretched out or something. And there is something really powerful about looking at the age that most of us are in right now. I know there's a range here, and like I'm about to turn 40 this year, which is crazy. And have that be a power moment of no, we're just getting started. That was all just us learning. And now we're ready. And I do feel like we have been very prepared. I mean, as a collective, beyond just millennials, we've had this really intense 5 years, maybe more, but like I always go to 2020 as being like a really big pivotal turning point of like preparation especially energetically, especially emotionally, especially being able just to see like what we do and don't like.
Yeah.
And also there's this thing coming up for me, and I don't know why it is, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think given our ages, there is this, the next generation is like right here. I mean, they're adults too,
yeah.
Right? And I think we're much more collaborative than other previous generations might have been. And that feels amazing. Like, I love them, right? Like, yes. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be like them. They're so cool. And I think that's actually something that we need to lean into more as a group is like, okay, yes, we are. I'm going to use this language, which is so funny because we were taught this. We're so special. We're so special.
We are.
We can do anything we want.
Yes. Yes.
And I know that was some of our messaging, and I believe it's actually true in a reclaimed kind of way. Mm-hmm. And part of that is that collaboration with the younger generations, with the older generations. Like, we got to go everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think we can do that.
I think we can too. I know we can. I know. I mean, we were bred on team sports and collaboration and team projects and how to work together, and sharing is caring, right? Like, I mean, someday we're going to go into like all the things that formed millennials, because I am obsessed with like looking back at all these things. And when you start to see the themes, it's like, yeah, absolutely. That's 100% why we're here. That's 100%. You can't make it up. It is built into us to be this bridge in the world and creating the new. And it feels so right to have this moment of, I'm going to call it peak adulting, of like, okay, we're here. And now how do we reclaim that? That's like, okay, we spent the first, let's call it 40 years of our lives learning why does it happen like this? We learned. We had to go into the trenches. We had to understand it. We had to feel through all of it, even if we didn't know how to process it. And now we're at this moment of reckoning that's like, okay, none of that worked for me. How do I rebuild it in a way that does, or realign it, not even rebuild it, right? But realign it to that value system that feels right.
Yeah. I really love that you said realign it. That feels really beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times we hear about the, you know, like complete destruction that has to happen. And sometimes that's true. And I love like a tower card moment, because I'm like, yes, let's break it down to create something new. And I really stand by, like, so much of what we've created is really good.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And maybe we don't need to completely destroy everything, right? To come into the new. And I do, this brings me back, honestly, Carrie, to where we were a little bit ago, which is so many of us are doing this siloed work right now, or maybe it's just like alone in our own hearts questioning why. And then when we come together, almost instantaneously, it's like, no, this makes sense. We're like all having these, you know, moments on our own. And I think the thing that I would love to offer to anybody who's hearing this and wondering, okay, well, this is resonating, but what do? I think the most powerful thing we can do is like connect with ourselves to be like, what is the area for me that all these themes flow into?
Yeah.
And you were saying this earlier, right? Like, that's the new way of doing business. Maybe in some businesses won't have employees, because everybody, I feel like we've talked about that, right? Like, we don't necessarily need it to be that way, because everyone's doing their own things and then we're coming together and collaborating. And I think that is the work for some people still, that some of us have moved past that and we know what our thing is. And some of us are still in the moment of exploring how to take all these gifts that our generation has and like, where are you going to focus that? And by the way, another thing I love about us is you don't have to do that forever. What's the thing right now that is lighting you up, that is pulling you towards it? Do that thing. And then when it's not time to do that thing anymore, it's okay to switch to something else. But we need you to be doing your thing. Like, we need everybody to come online and do their thing.
That's exactly it. I think that is like the perfect culmination to this conversation at this moment, which is come online and do your thing. Whatever it is necessary, and it doesn't have to be forever. And that's scary. And if we're all doing it that way, is it that scary anymore? Because we can see that we're all doing it that way, and it's just the new way.
We're just trying things and figuring
Yes.
things out. And we were even talking about this, like with our own things with marketing, right? Like the perfectionism and how do I fight through that? And I think our group has that, that issue or whatever you want to call it, wounding,
yeah.
challenge, opportunity.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just need to try things. We just need to do something.
Yes.
And it's okay to not know where that's leading. I know we desire that a lot. And the new way I think that our group can operate, should we take the challenge on, is just to trust whatever is presenting itself in this moment is what we're supposed to be following
yeah.
and doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Not easy. And I think you're right. I think
not easy.
Even a year ago, I think you, me, and one of our friends got together to do something that didn't turn into the thing that I thought it might turn into. And I remember very clearly all of us saying, this makes me so happy just to be doing this in this moment. Like, I am so full of joy and like happiness. And like, that's it. That's it. And it can and will be whatever it's meant to be. But finding that thing that really like lights you up is, and it shifts, right?
And it shifts.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And if I can say another thing that's coming up for me, because I know we need to like wrap up at some moment in time, who knows when. I think what can be really confronting about that way of living life, maybe there's many things, because we do have to, if we're going to do that, like you and I both did that, right? We like left our corporate jobs. We like, that is a thing. That is a whole experience. And there's a lot that happens when you do that. I think it's also okay to say, like, this thing lights me up, and I have to honor that we live still within a reality or a system that hasn't quite shifted completely yet to where we know it can be. And so how do we make our lives work so that we don't have to shut off that thing that lights us up, and we can still feel stable and like we even have space for that? And I think that is some of what we're doing too, right? Is, okay, now I've discovered who I am. Now I've discovered like what I love, and I still am latched into the way things have been working. And that makes sense, because some of those bigger shifts that, you know, we could maybe vision for the future, like a shared community where like we're trading things. And I mean, maybe it doesn't have to be that, but you know what I mean? Like,
I love that. Yeah.
Like a beautiful world where there's like a communal way of living, and we're not there yet. So we have to have jobs and we have to make money. And that can be so terrible to know what's in your heart and not be able to fully express it. And I think that, again, is why it's so important that we come together, because when we come together and we share those challenges, we can brainstorm ways to make it work.
Yes.
Because there are so many ways to make your special gift and your dream work, even within a changing construct yeah. of reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that there's so many different tools that allow us to just tweak how we're pouring energy, where that energy is being poured into, how we're thinking about pouring the energy, that really can shift from I have to have a job and I feel pulled down by that, to instead this job is giving me safety and it allows me to do this thing. And there's so many different tools to be able to do that, that that feels really powerful to hold both of those as we move through this transition, because it isn't just a jump ship and leap over to the other island. It's really, how do we kind of straddle both of them at the same time until we can fully move over to the other one? Yeah.
Yeah. I love that so much. And maybe that's a takeaway for like you and I, and for everybody who's listening, whether they're in this generation or not, like we can all learn from each other. I wonder if there's something here for us about not having to go so far to the sides of the pendulum. Like, I love that. And I feel like that is true. A lot of times we do need to experience, but like, what if it's okay that we can stay a little bit more in balance as we navigate some of this, right? Like, we don't have to be so, just so lost in the abyss
yeah.
of like the swings.
I think that that's actually what we're trying to move towards, right? Is like that
yeah.
the swing will always happen, but how do we make it less severe so that it is a little bit more balanced, right? That we still need to kind of experience two sides of things to be able to understand how do we discern what's for us, what's not for us, and all of that. Like, I don't think that duality ever goes away. And I
Right.
don't think it has to be so dramatic. At least within ourselves, I think collectively we're moving through a lot of drama to be able to understand that. And so each of us doing our own work to find that less intense or severe swing helps us collectively all do that too.
And of course, you can't say that without me saying back to you. I mean, that just makes me think of the window of tolerance in the nervous system, right? Like that's our work. That is our individual work. So that when the pendulum is swinging like crazy in the collective, we can stay stabilized in ourselves as much as possible. And if we get pulled into a fight or flight or a freeze, that's okay. That's normal. And we have the tools to come back into regulation. And I think I know our group is doing that work because even if you're not saying it in that way, we do have a lot of like tools available to us now to be able to navigate the inevitable shifts in energy and emotions that come up, even when you're doing something that you like even if you were like, this is my gift, this is what lights me up, I'm going to start this business, I'm going to join the human array, I'm going to do all the things, right? Like you're still going to maybe be triggered and you're still going to be scared
Not maybe. It is
and you're
almost
going to run away.
happening.
Yeah, let's not use maybe. You are going to have moments. And that's normal. And it's like, how do we navigate that and not jump ship? Because the mission is important and it's for you and it's for all of us.
Yes. And that trigger or that thing that comes up, like it allows you to step into the next version of you, right? And so just asking it questions, like, God, the good thing we're questionnaires.
We're so good at questions. Yes, let's ask even more at this
Yes,
point.
more. They keep
There's no
coming up.
such thing as too many questions
Nope.
or too much curiosity.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. This has been amazing.
So amazing.
And we could probably talk for 4 more hours, so we
And
will
we
get
have,
and
and we have, we have been on car rides together, which would have been 10-hour-long podcasts.
yes, exactly. Or maybe like 500 like 20-minute ones as we jump from topic to topic as we navigate a conversation. So I look forward to doing more of this because there are so many tangents that I was like, okay, I'm going to stay on this lane and then we'll do this other topic another time because I
There's
am
so much.
so much to unpack and I love it.
So much. Me too. Thank you so much for this conversation. I really loved it. And
Same.
I hope it helps everyone. And I know it helped me just to talk about these things. So thank you.
Yeah, same, always. So thank you, and everyone, have a great day. We'll see you next time.